Welcome to The Conscious Entrepreneur. I'm your host, Alex Raymond. This is the only podcast that is 100% dedicated to the well-being of entrepreneurs. Now, I know that being an entrepreneur is a long journey and it can be really tough. So on this show, we won't be sharing generic hero stories or talking about mythical unicorns. Instead, we'll get straight to the heart of what matters most, giving you tools and resources to grow, thrive, and succeed as an entrepreneur. Every week, I'll be speaking with incredible founders, CEOs, coaches, and authors to help you be more resilient and inspired as you build the business of your dreams. Welcome to the Conscious Entrepreneur Podcast. Today, we're hosting Brad Baum, the co-creator of the Founder Mental Health Pledge, a fantastic new initiative that's quickly gaining momentum and is helping entrepreneurs worldwide. In my mind, the most powerful thing about the Founder Mental Health Pledge is how it's changing the conversation around well-being and resilience. It's essentially about giving permission to CEOs and founders to look after themselves and to do so with the same mindset of the other investments that they're making in their business. What's remarkable is how quickly the pledge has grown. It's been signed by hundreds of VCs, including well-known companies like Benchmark, Foundry, Techstars, Foundry Institute, Mercado Partners, as well as hundreds of individuals. So there are a lot of people supporting this initiative. In our conversation today, Brad shares the story behind the creation of the pledge, his personal experiences as both a founder and as an investor, and the clear need for mental health support within the startup ecosystem. We discuss what it means to hustle responsibly, how VCs can support their portfolio companies, how the pledge can change company culture, and the big shifts that are taking place within the VC landscape, particularly as it relates to VC and founder relationships. Brad's insights are especially timely because he is coming to the Conscious Entrepreneur Summit in Boulder in June. So think of this episode as a sneak peek of what he's going to be sharing on stage at the Conscious Entrepreneur Summit. This episode is a must-listen for entrepreneurs, investors, and anyone interested in the intersection of business and personal well-being. Let's dive in. Hey, Brad Baum, thanks so much for joining us on the Conscious Entrepreneur Podcast.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Alex.
You're co-creator of the Founder Mental Health Pledge, which has turned into a really significant movement and really changed the conversation about how founders think about and hopefully talk about their own mental health. And it's also changing the dynamic between investors and the companies and CEOs that they work with. So it's been a really important contribution to this whole conversation about founder well-being and the journey of the entrepreneur. And it's really cool to connect with you because you're coming out to the third annual Conscious Entrepreneur Summit, June 4th and 5th in Boulder, Colorado, where you're going to share from the stage some of this stuff. So this conversation is kind of like a preview of what we can expect from you in June. As we kick off here, Brad, tell us, what was it that started this whole thing for you? What was the realization or what was the incident where you said, hey, you know what? We need something like the Founder Mental Health Pledge in real life.
Yeah, certainly. Happy to speak to that. I think it's not a black and white straightforward answer. I think it's sort of multifaceted. And I think it is relevant to sort of explain before even the pledge, and that sort of cultivated my interest in this, my awareness of the problem set, et cetera. So background is, struggled with my own mental health growing up. Saw, unfortunately, so many friends, family, extended people in my circle struggle themselves, both openly as well as quietly, as unfortunately so many people do. And unfortunately, can count on more than two hands that I don't have how many people I know or know of who unfortunately took their own life as a result of their mental health struggle. So growing up, this was like super present, unfortunately, and not as talked about as it is today. And we still have a long way to go on that. But fast forward, I find myself at an early stage venture fund based in Chicago, where I was able to get really close with some founders there. And when you have on the periphery, founders are sort of forced to run around to the Forbes Under 30 Summit and all these conferences and in board meetings and when they're fundraising, everything's up and to the right. We're crushing it, man. Hustle, hustle, grind, you know, 80-hour weeks, that whole spiel. And it's not that that's not true sometimes. It's that I think the bulk of the time, you're running around like a chicken with its head cut off, trying to figure out what to do next. You don't have guidance, and it's a struggle. And it's supposed to be. We're not out here. My philosophy, the team's philosophy is not, no, startups should be easy and you should be, you know, relaxed and it will be a cakewalk and you should just meditate in the morning and everything will be fine. It's 100%. You have to hustle. You have to have a level of delusional confidence in what you're doing. But can you hustle responsibly? And so that's sort of the tagline of the Founder Mentality Pledge is like hustle responsibly. And the way it sort of cultivated is, as I mentioned, I'm at the fund in Chicago, getting close with some founders. I had a founder say to me, multiple founders, but one stands out in particular, is I cry on my bathroom floor before my weekly stand-up.
Ugh, yuck.
And so I'm like, and by the way, that same founder I saw in a board meeting and at an event doing the rah-rah spiel. And I'm not saying he's inauthentic. I get it. Like, you sort of have to. I do think vulnerability is a superpower. So if you can get vulnerable with your team, with your investors, whatever, there's some, I think, upside to that within reason. We're not suggesting founders run around and you know, tell everyone how much of a struggle it is 24/7. But I do think there's some actually strength or superpowerness to alluding to it or having discrete conversations with certain people who you know are there to support you. So fast forward, I'm working with my now co-creator of the Founder Mental Health Pledge, Naveed, in sort of a advisory capacity on a company that he was running at the time. And we're talking, this happens to coincide with the Silicon Valley bank collapse. And so we're seeing tweets about founders who have, you know, contemplated or have taken their own life. It's a really dark era, that moment in time in the startup world. And in no part am I saying that was like a good thing by any means, but I think it was.
No, it was not. I remember it well. I remember this SVB debacle, and it was one of these just awful weekends where on the one hand, I was like, the only responsible thing to do as a CEO is to freak out. And then at the same time, I also know that everything is going to be totally fine. Yep. And how can both of these things be true at the same time? And so I remember having an awful weekend knowing that everything was going to work out, but at the same time, a lot of stress, anxiety, and uncertainty around that.
Yeah, I agree. I think you were fortunate to have the mental fortitude or foresight to be like, it will all work out. I think there are a lot of founders who are like, I bet the whole farm on this thing. And I don't see it working out. And that's not a pretty picture for me, to say it lightly. And so you're right. It all did work out. The worst part is like the folks that have SVB, one of them being on, one of the founders being on our strategic board here, are all great folks, for the most part. And so it was a really unfortunate time. What it sort of transitioned to for us or became was a catalyst for like, there's a why now. I had already cultivated a lot of the pledge. It was interesting at a former project. I sort of worked on this pledge idea, worked on the launch, worked on the actual phrasing of the initial pledge itself, and sort of was just collecting dust in my notes app. And so when Naveed and I put our heads together, and Naveed is like, it's all about speed. I call it Naveed speed. He was like, why don't we just do this? Like, why don't we just, I'll make a Google Doc and we will start this today. And I'm thinking, I'm more of like, you know, let's cultivate a plan. Let's, you know, let's figure out sort of at least the 90-day plan. He's like, no, let's just start. Like, people need the help now. So I'm like, okay,
let's go. So he was like, let's go. And by the way, for reference, you're talking about Naveed Lalani, who was the founder of Pioneer Mind, which had been funded in part by Silicon Valley Bank, correct? And then he is your co-creator in this project. That's what we're talking about.
So that's exactly what I'm talking about. So Naveed's phenomenal, and that's exactly the context through which this all sort of transpired. And so fast forward, we're like 10, 15 days into this, and we don't have mass exposure by any means yet, but the folks who we're talking to are just like, yup, please, how and when can I help? This is needed. And so we're sitting there like, oh my gosh, like we were sort of expecting people to be like, a pledge, that's cute. And we had multiple conversations. It was like, a pledge sounds like something that anyone will sign because it doesn't really have teeth. And it's sort of a cute kumbaya. Yeah, we all care about founder mental health. Whippy. And I sort of acknowledge, like, I would probably feel the same way if someone approached me, especially when I was in venture with a pledge. Maybe I'd sign it, maybe not. But like, ultimately, Naveen and I recognized that that would be a potential roadblock here. And the way we chose to look at it was, we understand that the initial inkling of this, or the initial sort of V1, doesn't really have teeth. But intentionally so, exactly because of its lack of teeth, it can catalyze a community and people who really care about this around a shared topic, mission, and problem set.
Yeah, it's certainly gotten very wide distribution. It's certainly gotten very wide adoption. And I want to hear about kind of how that worked. I want to understand more about how you got the word out and what the response has been. But before we do that, just for clarity here, so that the audience understands, Brad, what's in the Founder Mental Health Pledge? What does it constitute, and who is it for?
Let's just read it and I'll provide some commentary to you. The pledge itself reads the following. It's short. It says, I should know it by heart, but I don't. So let's go to take the pledge. So it reads, the process of company building requires a tremendous amount of hardship, risk-taking, and intense ambiguity. Founders make countless sacrifices, both professional and personal, that come at the expense of their mental health. Yet, founder mental health struggles remain stigmatized and are rarely discussed. By signing this pledge, one, we make a commitment to take an active role in encouraging mental health care for founders and the greater startup community. We pledge to encourage the founders we partner with to invest in their personal mental health and build a workplace culture that promotes mental health. And lastly, ensuring the mental health of founders and their teams is crucial and leads to the highest probability of startup success. Now, this is the kicker right here. This is where the intention was, give this last part teeth. We pledge to be supportive of founders treating the direct cost of caring for their mental health as a legitimate, worthwhile, and encouraged business expense, including therapy, coaching, group support, app-based solutions. Founders should look at their mental health as a business, operative word, business priority. And why do I emphasize that so much? And Naveen was really strong on this. It shouldn't be a carve-out that says, here's 0.5% of the investment, and if you want to use that for your mental health, go do whatever you want. I'm not knocking folks who did that. I have some dear friends who are at funds who did that, and it's tremendous, and it sends a signal, which is great, but we think the right signal to send is treat mental health the same way you would treat accounting, legal, et cetera, all these other expenses. And why? Two reasons. One, the investors who run around and do early stage deals, and I'm a hypocrite. I was one of them. They run around and shop from the rooftops. It's the jockey, not the horse. It's the team, the team, the team, the team. The product idea will evolve and change, but the team won't. And so we're looking for resilient founders who we can back. And that whole spiel is like very commonplace in early stage investing. Well, okay, that's wonderful. But you're willing to spend the money on AWS to support the product, but you're not willing to spend money to support what you're referring to as the most important piece of this puzzle.
And we're spending money on stuff that could have much more questionable ROI, things like public relations, for example, or like who knows what other things we're spending money on, as opposed to how is the individual who's running the company doing, and are they best equipped to carry this mission forward?
Precisely. And that's not us saying pull from your AWS budget or pull from your PR budget. We're not out here to make a commentary that founders are allocating their funds incorrectly, but we're suggesting that there is an underwhelming amount of allocation to make sure the jockey is equally as strong as the horse. And so so that's one bucket. The second bucket on the investor side is, let's say you don't care. Let's say you're like, whatever, man, like let them struggle. They signed up for this. That just comes with the territory. It's fine. Feel free to look at it that way. The reality is you almost owe this to your limited partners, the investors in the venture capital fund. Why? One of my roles in venture was looking at the wider portfolio returns, at least on paper. Okay. And what you see, and this wasn't specific to the fund I was working with, but any fund, is that it's predominantly one, it's zeros, and then predominantly 1 to 3 X's, a few sprinkles of like 5 to 20, depending on the fund. And then hopefully a 90, an 150, a crazy, you know, and that's what in venture you refer to as power law, meaning a very small number of investments actually return the fund many times over. So investors are actually in a fortunate, diversified position where they can go, most of these can fail as long as 1, 2, 3 hit. And so the incentive structure is a little bit inherently flawed, actually. But I think I feel very strongly, and I think I can speak for the broader team, both Naveed, Alan, Kylie, Alex, et cetera, and our board, in saying that we think if you make this priority, this investment in founder mental health, if founders weren't spending their mornings crying on their bathroom floor before their stand-up, how many of those 1 to 3s or zeros could have been 5 to 10s or 10 to 15s? I'm not saying invest in founder mental health and you'll just see unicorns left and right, but you certainly can't run a company as effectively as possible when you're crying on the bathroom floor before you talk to your team. And that's just an extreme. By the way, there's worse extremes, but then there's this middle pocket of people who are just struggling. It's hard. I've now felt it on the founder side. It's not fun. You need to be supported by as many people as possible. And sorry, I'm going on a bit of a tear here, but I feel very strongly about it. The reality of being a founder is it's really, really lonely. Even if you have a great support system, and a lot of people are fortunate too, and many others aren't. The reality is your husband, wife, best friends, folks who aren't founders themselves have a really hard time, and for no fault of their own, truly empathizing with what you're going through.
This is such a big deal. And we've talked about this a number of times with different guests on the podcast. So we've had folks on this podcast, many of whom you know, right? Everyone from Matt McCall in episode 1 talking about this, to Matthew Bellows more recently talking about this in episode 32, to frankly, very, very recently with Amy Lewin of Sifted. And she's got these statistics that 49% of startup founders are considering quitting their jobs because it's so tough, because of the strain that goes on to them. I mean, she similarly talks about things like 85% are experiencing high stress, 75% of founders are experiencing anxiety. And, you know, I also look back at the work of folks like Michael A. Freeman, who wrote that incredible paper, Are Entrepreneurs Touched with Fire? He came on the Conscious Entrepreneur podcast back in episode 21. And we know that this is a problem. So we see the data. We see through, you know, both empirical data and the stuff that I learn at Conscious Entrepreneur, how hard it is for entrepreneurs to deal with the many, many things that go into building a business. And this is a great way for us to change the conversation, to reframe these things. And I really like the way that you've done it in terms of saying, you know what, this is a business expense. Just like you pay for, you know, E&O insurance and D&O insurance and so on, we've got to be working with the founders to make sure that they are resilient. Because if they're not, they're not going to be very effective. You know that famous quote, right? The famous quote is like, you know, the VC saying, I've never seen a company go bust when a founder took a week off, but I have seen companies that go bust because the founder didn't take a week off. So that's exactly in line with everything you're saying, right?
I actually like the way you just you used insurance as a comp, because I think it's almost an insurance policy on the company to make this investment. And to your point around Dr. Freeman, I sort of view him as the godfather of this world, at least on the clinical research side. And there's other folks. We're working with a renowned professor out of King's College who's sort of a leading voice in the research side here, some folks at Stanford, et cetera. But Dr. Freeman, who's on our board, our strategic board, and we've worked very closely with him, you know, did the work to figure out there's an insane higher likelihood of suffering across a multitude of different mental health related issues. Stress is one thing, but I don't think we should conflate stress with mental health. Stress is not a diagnosable mental health condition. And by the way, this wouldn't be a thing if it was just me. It's Naveed, it's Alan, who's an absolute superstar. It's the broader team. It's our strategic board, et cetera. So I just want to be
and
fair.
You're referring to Alan Woodruff, the executive director of Founder Mental Health Pledge, right?
I'm referring to the legend, Alan Woodruff.
The legend.
Absolute Swiss Army knife and just incredible beyond belief. I can't say enough good things about Alan. We're very lucky to have him. But to that point, the reality is that these things are, I want to emphasize, we're not here saying that every founder or most founders even have a diagnosable mental illness and they need to be treated for it. The data says that overwhelmingly they do compared with the average population. And we can get into the, perhaps we can, you know, pontificate on why that may be, but the truth, the cold numbers are that there is an incredible amount of depression, ADHD, bipolar, anxiety, unfortunately suicide, psychiatric hospitalization, et cetera, in addition to just stress. Stress sucks. A lot of people must deal with it. You can usually work through it in varying capacities, lifestyle adjustments, et cetera. But when that manifests into severe, persistent stress, that can manifest into anxiety disorder, major depressive disorder, even trigger bipolar, things of that nature. And unfortunately,
physical health problems as well.
The worst part of it, yes. The worst part of it, I'm building something in the chronic pain space outside of working on the pledge, chronic pain, mental health related. And the worst part of it is that the only headlines we really see is when a founder does take their own life. And that's consistent with, you know, I hate to bring school shootings into this, but you see the headline on the school shooting, although sadly these days for about a day and a half, and then it's on to the next thing, and we wait for the next school shooting to happen. But you don't see when there was some altercation at a school, really. Same thing here. It's like, that's what we see. We don't see the silent struggles of millions of entrepreneurs in this country. And our macro picture, not to get too heady here, is that, like, what makes America great? That we have a robust ecosystem that can support entrepreneurship. We're in inning two of that, maybe.
So tell us about the uptake of the pledge. Who signed it? What do they look like? What's the profile of both the companies or the individuals or the investors? How big has this thing gotten?
Yeah. To at least I'll speak for myself. To my surprise, I thought, you know, this would be like pretty cool. We'll get some firms to sign the pledge. We'll introduce a clause that is legalese in the term sheet. And maybe we'll get some adoption. And then hopefully we can find a wonderful executive director to push things along. I don't know if it's me, Naveed, or just the universe, or just speaks to the magnitude of this issue and how under-discussed it is, but it sort of exploded. Within the first few months, we had everyone from Y Combinator to Benchmark to Techstars to Felicis to General Catalyst, you name it, joining the pledge, getting involved personally, reaching out to us to ask how they can help, what they can do. Super fortunate to have had Forbes cover us, Fortune Magazine, Ali Garfinkel, shout out to her at TermSheet, did a huge piece on us. The reason that was so awesome is because it's really her target audience. It's like the number one newsletter in the world for founders and investors. And so Brad Feld wrote a blog post titled The Founder Mental Health Pledge. He was instrumental in the initial growth of this. We've had some really awesome folks sign the pledge. And then now we're seeing, frankly, a surprising number of them, without much pushing, agree to include an actual clause, the mental health clause. This is what Ali covered in her Fortune piece, an actual clause introduced into the term sheet. And so we're talking about legalese that actually says, we, as your investor, encourage you to allocate at your discretion funds that we give you, not a percentage of them, but whatever at your discretion feels right, to your own mental health. Whether that looks like coaching, therapy, an app, working with a psychiatrist, whatever that means to you, go out and do it, because I want this to be a sustainable company that can reach its max potential, and it's not going to happen with you crying on the floor. In your bathroom.
Hey, fellow entrepreneurs, join us at the third annual Conscious Entrepreneur Summit in Boulder, Colorado on June 4th and 5th. This is not just another business event. It's a life-changing experience to learn from super successful CEOs and leaders and people like best-selling author Ryan Holiday, who's going to be there to share how to use Stoic philosophy for business success. More than learning, this event is about connecting with a community of entrepreneurs who are committed to their well-being and growth. I'm hosting, and I can't wait to share this journey with you. Check out the website, consciousentrepreneur.us, for more details.
It's been incredible to see sort of this, really, the community word sort of gets played out, but it's more like this recognition of both the problem, but then also recognition of the opportunity to change it. And so do I think we're like the knight in shining armor here? I really don't. I think we were one of the folks who stood up, and there are other folks, by the way, that we're partnering with. But we were one of the folks that stand up and say, like, hey, we think this is huge and no one's talking about it. And to our surprise, other people were like, yeah, yeah, us too. How can we help? Let's change it. And I think broadly speaking, and I'll shut up after this, but there's a social, not a moment in time like fad, but like a complete societal shift in how we think about our mental health, especially propagated by the rising generations and social media, where it's no longer, actually, you know what? I can't say it's no longer. We're getting to a place where it will no longer be, hey, I'm struggling. Hey, I think I might have anxiety or bipolar or depression. You go on TikTok these days, people, you know, 18 to 25 talk about it without batting an eye. Like, yeah, I struggle with depression.
We're definitely getting to the point where this is not a thing that people are hiding anymore, which
is taboo.
Fantastic. It's not taboo anymore. So just to clarify, how many VCs have signed so far?
Do you mind if I point one thing out on that before I address your second question? I think it's important to recognize, I live in Los Angeles. I used to live in Chicago. In Los Angeles, in Chicago, in Miami, in San Francisco, very progressive leaning. And so while mental health may feel like it has rapidly destigmatized there, that's actually a fraction of the population of this country. Think about rural Kansas, Ohio, Michigan, where I'm from even. I hate that I just compared Ohio to Michigan, by the way. I'll never do that again. Go blue. But it's not the same, right? Like, there's still so much work to be done on that front.
Brad, to get specific here, so how many VCs are on board with the pledge right now?
I would have to email Alan to get you the precise number because it's fluctuating every day, thank God. On the site, we're at 782 and growing. And so that's startup founders, folks like the founders of Brex, for example. That's General Catalyst, Bradfeld, Benchmark, Techstars, Antler, Endeavor. I'm just literally reading off the screen right now as it goes. Justin Kahn, you know, co-founder of Twitch, Felicis, Michael Freeman, of course, folks like that have signed the pledge. Masters of Scale, you know, Reid Hoffman's podcast, you name it. And so it's plenty more ground to cover, but Peter Fenton at Benchmark, Mercury, et cetera, have all, Jerry Colonna of Reboot, Hustle Fund, I could go on and on, Lolita Taub, have all, you know, joined in here, Foundry, I'll stop. But the point is, like, we've catalyzed a movement of people who are engaged and are ready to speak up. You know, folks like Sargur at CRV, people have, you know, said, how do we help? And so I think there's a huge opportunity now that we have the Goggin at founder of Maven, et cetera, all these people are ready to lean in. And so I think that's really exciting to us, not just to be able to throw their logo on our website. That helps, but that's not the intention here. The intention is these people, we believe investors have the loudest voice in the room in the context of a founder's mental health, because when your friends, family, wife, husband says, honey, you need to start taking care of your mental health, it's easy to be like, yeah, yeah, you don't get it. Founder, hustle culture, of course you think that. But when your investor says, hey, man, hey, we need to prioritize this, that hits different. Not to sound like Gen Z, but hits different.
It does hit different because it's someone on the inside as opposed to someone at the outside.
That's right.
And so that's really, really critical. You mentioned earlier that when you were designing and rolling out the pledge for the first time, that you sort of knew ahead of time that this doesn't have a lot of teeth, right? It's sort of a recommendation or it's a set of ideas. What do you see this evolving toward, or how is version two going to look different in terms of implementation and the commitments that are required?
So intentionally, not a lot of teeth at first to catalyze a movement and people around this. I don't think we looked at it as not a lot of teeth, but we recognized that we would likely get some feedback like that. And we did. The intention was always to then introduce this mental health clause, which we've done. We have well over 20 funds who have adopted that. I'd have to check with Alan to get the current this week's number. So the clause actually, I think hopefully the impact of that is intuitive. This is in a legal document that investors send to their founders that clearly articulates you should feel empowered. And so that is manifest. I've seen posts on LinkedIn from random founders we don't know that says, these are the 87 funds who are involved with the Founder Mental Health Pledge, or more than 87, thankfully. These are the folks you want to raise money from. These are the founder-friendly folks. And every week you have to run around town, founder-friendly, prove it. And I'm not saying just by signing our pledge you proved it, but it's a piece. And so the clause is one aspect of it. Then you have things like the research we're partnering on with King's College and in works with Stanford. Another piece of it is the potential to make grants to founders who, unfortunately, you know, we see all these founders like, or companies like raises pre-seed round, raises seed round, raises A, great. But there's so many founders who either for lack of access because of their upbringing or their lack of, you know, didn't go to the prestigious university, or their dad isn't the founder of blank, don't have access to capital. That doesn't mean they're not brilliant and could be incredible operators. It means they couldn't even get in the door to start playing game. And so can we make grants to folks like that to actually get them in the door, but get them in the door in a world where they're taking care of their mental health? Those folks may think they need to even hustle, grind harder. And probably a part of that's true, but can you do it responsibly? Can you hustle responsibly? So grants is a piece of it. We've got some other exciting stuff in the works. I don't want Alan to kill me or Naveed. So I'm gonna shut my mouth before I blurt some things out that they'd be mad at me for. But really, really exciting stuff with really cool people that I think can add to the teeth of this and can even catalyze more excitement and involvement around the problems that we're trying to solve.
And what have you heard anecdotally about how this is coming to life in the real world? Have you heard from founders who have the clause, who are using it? Have you heard from founders who are now thinking about this and talking about this in a different way as a result, as a direct result of the permission granted by their investors?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't want to speak for the whole team, but for me, one of the most motivating pieces of this is that feedback loop. You know, we've heard from founders who are just thankful that this exists, who now feel as though taking care of their mental health is not something they should be embarrassed about. And we're not, again, I want to reinforce, we're not saying go to your investor and say, sit down, I need to tell you about all my anxiety and depression. We're saying that conversation does not even need to happen because they've signed a pledge and or have the clause included in their term sheet. You should feel empowered to just go out and do it. No one needs to know if you don't want them to. I think you'd be surprised at how much people can empathize and sympathize if you do, but that's your prerogative. And so we've heard from founders, we've heard from VCs that it has helped them win deals or present as truly founder friendly. I saw a post on LinkedIn the other week where a guy, you know, as I mentioned a moment ago, said these are the VCs you should be working with. Do we have all the data we'd like to today? No. It's part of the reason we're working with leading researchers in this space to gather that. And the feedback loop, just like the feedback loop in venture, I think it's funny. I wasn't a good investor, or maybe I was. I don't know. You don't know until we're not talking about paper returns, until cash hits the bank account from an investment you made 7 years ago. So the same way venture is the long game and the feedback loops are long, I think it's the feedback loop's long on this. Like we will see. But we also think that this will permeate down the org. So if your founder is taking care of their mental health of a 500-person company that raised their Series C, what does that send to the SVPs the vice presidents, the account managers, et cetera. It says, I should also care for mental health. I think now that I'm talking about it, I think we should have Spring Health and Lyra sponsor this because that's their business.
But, I mean, look, a lot of people don't know where to start. And so to me, the cool thing about the Founder Mental Health Pledge is it's a way to open up the discussion. And it's a way to say to people, hey, look, this is normal. These are things that happen. This is a part of your business that you have to care for just as much as you look at any other line in your P&L. And so it's critical to be kind of breaking open that conversation. The other thing I really appreciate about the Founder Mental Health Pledge is the way that it builds a bridge between the investor and the founder. And that is not always a great relationship. It's not always seen as a two-way street. You know, a lot of times it's sort of viewed as there's a one-up and a one-down relationship here, with the investor typically being seen as to hold more power. And so this is a really nice way to level that out and to encourage the conversation. So Brad, I'm looking forward to you being at the Conscious Entrepreneur Summit with us in June. So this is coming up June 4th and 5th. This is just one of the many conversations that we have on topics like this, all around building resilience for founders. And just before we sign off here, Brad, want to check, what else do you want to share with our group before we leave?
Yeah. Again, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be at the conference. It'll be my first time going, but I've heard great things from previous years, and we're excited to have the pledge involved in it. I think it's extremely mission aligned with what we're doing. So thank you for giving us the opportunity to do that. One thing I want to call out from something earlier that you mentioned, it's total bullshit that the dynamic in venture is, I'm the venture capitalist and you're the measly founder. Bow down to me and call me Lord. Like, hey, dude, I don't know if you realized, but the only reason any limited partner gave you money was because there are founders building, struggling, hustling, hopefully responsibly, to make you money. And so I'm not saying that founders should be put on some crazy pedestal by investors, but at a minimum, equal. And you see that, by the way, in the upper crest of venture deals, you have investors begging, give me an allocation, give me an allocation, please, I'll fly out to wherever you are. And I'm not, it'll never be the case that that's across the board, but that dynamic can, should, and I believe will change in some capacity. Because the only reason venture capitalists exist or can be successful is because founders are out there building. And by the way, I'll admit, when I was an investor, I think I had a bit of a misconstrued ego around, well, I'm the investor, so impress me and I can do it, you know, and it's wrong. And I don't think I would have learned that lesson had I not put on the operator hat. And me and an old friend, Harry Stebbings, who actually has a wonderful podcast on the venture world. I remember back in the day we spoke about, as he was just getting started, like, do you need to be a founder in order to be a great investor or a former founder? And I think you can take any side of that argument and argue it with merit. But I think there is a inherent lack of empathy for things like what we're talking about in lieu of you not having operator experience. It doesn't mean you can't, you know, make a ton of money and be successful on paper, but I just think it's a bit of a different sort of way of operating that you garner from experience being a founder. I could talk about this all day, and I've really enjoyed this conversation, but I think we've covered a lot of it. I'm excited to cover it more in depth at the conference.
Fantastic. Well, Brad Baum, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate your work with the Founder Mental Health Pledge, and thanks for joining us on the Conscious Entrepreneur Podcast.
And big thanks to you for having me and all the work you're doing. Appreciate it. So fun.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Conscious Entrepreneur. If you're ready to go deeper into working on yourself, check out the upcoming events, articles, and resources on our website, which is consciousentrepreneur.us. I'd also really like to thank the team at Hivecast for producing this episode. If you run a podcast and are looking for an awesome full-service production company, make sure to check out Hivecast.